Good morning, it's 8:03, and we welcome you to our meeting on December 6th. It's time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, Vice President of the Commission. We have Sid Logan, Secretary, Jason Ziskowski, Assistant General Manager, Generation Power Rates and Transmission Management, Jeff Colstrom, Interim General Counsel, Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute or turn off your phones, your cell phones, or other electronic devices. We are going to have the Office of the Washington State Auditor, the SAO, presenting an exit conference. And Julia Anderson will facilitate this discussion. Welcome, Julia.
Good morning. So this morning, I'd like to introduce the State Auditor's Office. We have, I believe, three people presenting: Christina Baylor, Courtney Amundson, and Thomas Bernard. This meeting is a little bit larger than what you've expected or seen in the past for exit conferences. We've had a lot of audit work this year, and SAO was able to wrap most of this up about the same time. So we're doing one big exit conference covering four separate individual audits that SAO did this year. So with that, I will turn it over to Christina. I believe their whole team is remote this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. That's a good start. Thank you, Julia, so much for those introductions. We are very pleased to be with you this morning to share, as Julia mentioned, the results of several audits that our office conducted on behalf of the PUD. I am joined by two of my colleagues today, so we'll do some quick introductions. Starting with myself, my name is Christina Baylor. I serve as the local audit manager for the Office of the Washington State Auditor. I manage our team based in Mill Creek, and so we've had the pleasure of working with the PUD for many years, and it's always great to see you, even though we're virtual today. I am joined by Thomas Bernard. Tom is heading up our energy program for the office, and Tom is here to share the results of two energy compliance examinations that just recently completed as well. And then I am also joined by Courtney Amundson this morning. Courtney is one of our audit supervisors. She is here to share the results of the accountability audit with you as well. So before we get started, I'd like to just take a moment to reference the disclaimer that you all are seeing visually on the PowerPoint today. Today is what we call our exit conference. It is an opportunity to share the results of all of the audits that we conducted before they become published to the public. Please keep in mind that these results are final. We are actually planning to publish the results later on this morning. So if there's any questions, please let us know as early as you can. We'd be happy to answer those while we're here with you this morning. The disclaimer does reference a packet of information that is accompanying today's visual presentation. I believe everybody should have that in your board packet. We won't be speaking directly from that, but we will be referencing some key page numbers if you'd like to follow along. They may be different page numbers in your packet, but we'll take a moment to allow everyone to get to that same material. So with that, we'll jump to our next slide, which is a quick overview of our audit process. And I'm not sure who is controlling our slides today, so let's see if we can move to that next slide.
You should be able to just click on the slide and advance.
Oh, okay, let's see here. There we go. All right, so on this slide, we talk a little bit about the office before we jump into the audit process. What is really good to take a moment to remind everyone is the State Auditor's Office takes very seriously our role to be the auditor of all local funds. We do audits of all local governments and state agencies throughout the year. It keeps us quite busy. We do well over 2,000 audit reports every year. But at the end of the day, we have three goals that we're hoping to achieve, and we hope that you recognize and the public also sees. The first is that we're hoping to increase trust in government. So having an audit process just performed in general is a really important tool to you as members of management and the governing body. It helps you see if there's any areas that are working well, if there's any things that would benefit from fine tuning, or if there's anything else that you should be aware of from an audit standpoint. Second, having audits conducted independently and making those results available to the public is also very important. That helps build public trust. It helps get those results out to your constituents so that they can see all the good work that the PUD is both doing, but also have access to those direct independent results. We do publish all of our reports directly on our website. They're available to anyone that might have an interest in seeing that material. And then lastly, we know that the audit process might result in recommendations. So whether an audit has any audit recommendations or not, please know that we take very seriously to our goal to make sure that those recommendations are helpful and that they help the PUD improve the efficiency and effectiveness of your government. If the recommendations are not easy to understand, if you have any questions on them, please let us know, because that's really important at the end of the day. We want to make sure that these results are helpful to you as you continue to improve your business. So with that, we are going to start with the first audit results that we have in the energy compliance area. And so I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Tom, and he's going to walk you through those results. Tom?
Thanks, Christina. Hey, good morning, everyone. I would like to talk first off the two examinations that we performed for energy compliance. The first was the district's compliance with the Clean Energy Transformation Act. It's the first audit of its kind for the district, and the first time we've audited the district for compliance in this area. This law came into effect in July of 2019, and along with it were some compliance requirements that were effective during the period 2019 through December 31st, 2021. So that's the period we looked at, was those requirements that were in place during those period of time. And the result, you'll see in the report here in a momentarily, that we're issuing a clean, unmodified opinion on the district's compliance with the requirements that we examined. There was one reportable condition related to an internal control that we included in the report as a finding. We're required to do so by our standards. I'll go over that here momentarily. And then we had one recommendation that we issued in the form of a letter to district management. Didn't rise to the level of a finding, but warrant at the attention of management in the form of a letter, and I'll go over that as well. Next slide, please. The results of the Clean Energy Transformation Act compliance examination, there were three areas that we looked at. One was the district complied with the Act's requirements for providing energy assistance to low-income households. And in doing so, there were a couple things that the district complied in doing and that they were required to do. They made programs and funding available to low-income households by July 31st, 2021, and then performed the assessment, biennial assessment of its energy assistance during 2019 and 2020, and developed plans for reducing the energy burden of low-income households moving forward. And those are the requirements of the assessment. The second compliance area is the greenhouse gas content calculation. Every year, electric utilities file with the Department of Commerce their fuel mix reports. And as part of that report now, CETA requires that the greenhouse gas content calculation be part of that report. And so that's what we looked at, was the district's compliance in creating and reporting that report. And there were no problems found in that area. The district complied in all facets there. The third and final area is developing its clean energy implementation plan for the period January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2025, that 4-year period. And we looked to make sure that all the elements that are required to be part of that plan were present, and all the targets that were required to be reported were done. And the outreach and consideration of that outreach was integrated into that process. And we found that the district complied in all respects with the requirements therein. Next slide, please. So this is the finding that I mentioned at the beginning. And what this entails, and it, you'll see in your packet, or the report that this is in, is starts on page 5. And the opinion that we're, our clean opinion is on page 8. This finding starts on page 9 of our handout. And what this finding talks about is part of that assessment, the energy of the energy assistance to low-income households, the biannual reporting. There's a calculation that needs to be that all utilities must perform. And the districts, when we began the audit, the district hadn't performed it, didn't know they had to perform it, and then did perform it, so they did comply. But Yellow Book standards require that if there is an internal control deficiency that causes or could have caused the district to be out of compliance with something they're required to do, we have to evaluate that and report it as a finding in our report. So in the finding that we published here with this report, we acknowledge that the act is complex. It's the first year that the districts had to comply with the act, and the district was relying on a template by the Department of Commerce, and that template didn't have this information in it to report, unfortunately. So we worked with the district, and district contacted Commerce, got the information in that Commerce needed. Commerce uses the information to satisfy its reporting requirement to the legislature. So they were able, the district was able to get that information to Commerce and comply with the act. Any questions about that?
Okay. This is Commissioner Olson. I believe I read somewhere that, who was it? Maybe was referring to something else, that they are not material individually or in the aggregate.
I will get to that. That is a different, okay. Different area. Okay. Let me get through the next one, and I will address exactly your question when I get to that part of the presentation. I'd be happy to talk about that. Yeah, that's a separate, what you're describing is totally separate from what we're talking about right here. So that's why there's, yeah. So I'll go on to the next slide, if you would, please. And this is the management letter. And this one didn't rise to as significant of a level as the finding. It's in compliance. It was just that something, an amount in the reporting of energy assistance was incorrect. And it's an amount that Commerce is aggregating and then reporting to the legislature. And we just want to make sure everybody understands what that amount is to be and how it's to be, so that it's reported accurately. And what this is part of the energy assistance can come in the form of energy conservation programs. And what the district was doing was reporting its incentives. Each dollar that incentivized customers to participate in those programs accounted as a bill reduction to the customer, which isn't exactly accurate. That dollar will produce energy savings for customers, and the cost of the energy they saved is truly what their bill reduction should be. So we made the recommendation that they take a look at the district take a look at how they're quantifying the energy assistance amount that they're reporting and make sure it represents the cost of the energy saved and not the dollars that they spent on to incentivize the program. So any questions about that? Okay. Thank you. And so with that, I will, I'll address now Commissioner Olson, your question. On page 31, we have the representation we asked of management. Oh, page 34, and that's going to be in the renewables section. So what you're referring to are some misstatements that were immaterial to energy, renewable energy compliance of the EIA. And so we, as a matter of standard, we have to report those to you because they're uncorrected, but at the same time, they don't impact compliance in any way, shape, or form. So therefore, they're not material, but we have to inform you about them. So we put them in a little schedule at the bottom of the management representation letter for you to see, and it's so we can communicate those to you.
Thank you for that clarification.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said thank you for that clarification.
Okay, you bet, you bet. So with that, I'll go to the next slide. And this is the second compliance examination we performed. And this is the Energy Independence Act. This one you'll be more familiar with. We've done this one over the last 10, 12 years. It is the renewable energy compliance. It is for the calendar year 2021. And again, we're issuing a clean unmodified opinion on compliance. And this particular cycle is different in that the district opted to comply using an alternative compliance path available to districts, to utilities that don't experience growth in customer load over the last 3 years. And so the district was able to demonstrate that their weather adjusted load had not increased, and therefore they were eligible for this compliance path. And what the compliance path does is it allows you to retire fewer RECs than you would under the standard renewable portfolio standard of the act. So I'll go into a little more explanation here in the next slide. So the results of this is the 10th consecutive period the district complied with the act's requirements. And as I mentioned, the district was eligible as a no-load growth utility to apply this alternative compliance path. And what the alternative compliance path says is that if you invest at least 1% of your annual retail revenue requirement in eligible renewable resources, you'll be considered in compliance with the target you would normally comply with. So the financial cap of $6,625,340 was fairly stated and representative of 1% of that annual retail revenue requirement for 2021. Once that's established, then the district has to demonstrate that it did indeed invest in renewable energy to that level, and which the district was able to demonstrate. They on page 19, our report on this starts on page 15, but on page 19 is an attachment A that details the very RECs that the district retired and their investment value and how that aggregates to meet that financial cap target. And so the RECs that it retired were of an investment value at least sufficient to meet the financial cap requirement. They actually had a lot more renewable energy they could have claimed, but they had enough to meet that target. And that's what we looked at. They're bundled RECs, meaning they're the renewable energy, the megawatt hour of renewable energy, plus the non-power attribute in the form of a renewable energy credit. So the district purchased those as a bundled REC and retired those as a bundled REC. There were no energy sales that reduced their investment. So that's why it says bundled RECs, because it was a combination of both the megawatt hour and the REC itself. And those were from Hay Canyon Wind Project. The district was not required to retire additional RECs to offset certain purchases of electricity from non-renewable resources. The act requires that if in the target year you purchase more energy from non-renewable resources than you did in a baseline year, the difference, the increase in non-renewables that you purchased in the target year have to be offset. Each megawatt hour has to be offset by a renewable energy credit. And in this case, the district was able to demonstrate it had fewer non-renewables in the target year than it did in its baseline year, and therefore did not have to retire additional RECs to comply. Does anybody have any questions about any of that? So far,
I have none, commissioners.
No, I don't.
Okay, great. So that report is on as I mentioned, on page 15, it runs, and then page 19 is the attachment. And then again, page 34 is the representations with that schedule at the very end of all of the uncorrected misstatements that were inconsequential to our work and our issuing an opinion. But we wanted you to be aware of what those were. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Courtney to talk about the audits that the local team did. So thank you for your time.
Great. So for the districts, we conducted an accountability audit that covered the period of January 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021. And the purpose of an accountability audit is to determine whether the district complied with any state laws, regulations, contracts, grant agreements, or its own policies and procedures. And so in addition to these audits, we also look at whether the, in general, whether the district has adequate controls to safeguard public funds. And so under the heading of results in brief, you will see there that the district's operations complied in all material respects with those laws and policies and regulations, which is exactly what you want to see in this accountability report. So it's a great job. And just for your reference also, this report and this specific clarification is included on page 25 of the packet that we provided to you. So as we reviewed your accountability audit, we wanted to talk a little bit more specifically about the areas that we did select for testing. And so in selecting those specific areas, we do a number of planning procedures to determine kind of where we want to focus our time. And so we take a look at the meeting minutes of the board. We looked at, you know, trends and financial data, looking at like payroll and vendor information. We perform risk assessments with a variety of key staff and board members, just to gain understanding of what's happened during the period under audit. And then we perform a risk-based approach to select the areas for further testing. And so in the slide, you'll see a listing that there's actually two slides from a variety of different areas this year. So we'll go over those items, but we wanted to highlight just a few that we thought would be interesting to you. And based on the kind of how you're spending your funding, we thought they would be good to go over. The first one is payroll, as payroll is one of your largest expenditures for the district. We performed a system review to gain an understanding of the policies and procedures that the district has in place to ensure that payments are accurate and that they're supported and allowable. We then performed testing over payroll wages, overtime, leave cash outs, and compensation of public officials to confirm that that process that you have in place is actually effective. And we are pleased to report that we had no major recommendations that came from this payroll review. So great job. We also would like to specifically thank Alicia Blatt, payroll specialist, for her work and dedication to providing the documents to us in a timely manner in order to be able to complete this testing. The second area I wanted to discuss was cost allocation. As I know you are aware, the district allocates overhead costs amongst the departments that benefit from those costs. And so we reviewed the process that the district uses to ensure the allocations are allowable and adequately supported. And we didn't identify any concerns with the process being used and the procedures used to allocate those funds. We then performed testing of those allocations to make sure that they are supported and reasonable. And again, we did not identify any major recommendations for the district. So great job again. In addition to payroll and cost allocation, we also performed testing over procurement. We selected a variety of different purchases and projects to make sure that you were in compliance with the requirements under state law. And then we took a look at some IT security policies and procedures specific to patch management. Moving on to the next slide, we also took a look at your software conversion as the district switched their meter reading system over this the course of this period. So we just made sure that the information was accurately transferred in place. And then we took a look at compliance with public works projects, specifically focusing on change orders, as well as some credit card payments. As again, that's a significant expenditure. And then we took a look at open public meetings, specifically focusing on compliance with minutes, meetings, and executive session requirements. And then finally, we took a look at the financial condition, just looking for any indications of any financial distress. And overall, we actually had no major recommendations at all. We had no management letters or findings, just a couple of minor items that were already discussed with management, but this was a very clean audit. So great job to the district and everybody involved. Moving forward, we also took a look at for the period of January 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021, because the district utilizes Moss Adams to perform the financial and federal compliance audit, standards require that we review that work performed by the CPA firm to ensure that the work can be relied upon. And so our review did not identify any concerns with its quality, and therefore we were able to rely on the audit performed. So the district did receive a letter confirming that. So we just wanted to incorporate that in our discussion today as well. And so with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Christina to wrap up.
Thank you, Courtney. We just have a few slides to conclude our presentation with you this morning. The first is just a reminder that we're always available to help the district throughout the year, even when audits are not in progress. And we have a couple support teams that we love to share with our governments that are available at no additional cost to you should you need them. The first is our local government support team. They focus on accounting and filing of the district's annual report. So should the district have any questions on accounting changes, such as new GASB pronouncements or the like, or updating or filing your annual report, they're available to you should you need them. The second is our Center for Government Innovation. This is a really interesting team that we're really excited to share with our governments. They've been around for several years now, but really what they focus on is bridging the gap between audit results and how you take steps to implement any changes that you would like. The center does a number of things, but one of the things that they do is they provide training at no additional cost. So they're available to provide trainings to your staff on site or virtual, I believe, on a number of different topics. So they do lean training if you're looking at improving any of your processes or the efficiency of those processes, but they've also added some additional topics to their training library, which are team building and leadership workshops. So those are really great too if you're looking for somebody new to come in and work with your staff. One other tool that they are behind is our award-winning financial intelligence tool. This is a tool that's housed on our external website, so any member of the public can get to it and take a look. What this tool does is it really makes financial health indicators of all of our governments in the state available to anybody that has an interest in them. So we take your annual data that you upload with our office, and we apply national standards that are just industry recognized for financial ratios, such as your current ratio, your debt ratio, things of that nature. And we use your data to, or apply your data to those ratios. And it does give you some financial health indicators that could be of interest to you as board members or management as you continue to oversee the district's finances and health going forward. So if you haven't taken a look at that tool, it's a really neat tool. We encourage you to do so. It can also allow you to take a look at similar sized governments if you'd like to see how your government varies by maybe some that are close to your business model. So again, that's available to you now, and we encourage you to take a look at that if you have not already. And then in closing, we did want to give a brief update on the cost of our engagement. As you can see, we have all three audits listed here. We did stay within budget or under budget in our EIA renewables and accountability work. And then based on the audit of CETA and the recommendations that Tom shared with you earlier, some additional time was necessary, but that was communicated with the district as that happened during the audit. For the next audits, we have included estimated costs in your packet. Those are available for your budgeting needs. And if you have any questions on those, please don't hesitate to reach out. We're always happy to discuss those with you. In terms of report publication, I did mention early on in the presentation that we will have a fairly quick publication of the district's reports. They are set to come out at 10 a.m. Today, and so they'll be available on our website. If you have any questions whatsoever, please let us know and we're happy to take a look at those. If you are interested, you can also sign up to receive alerts when your district's reports are published or any other local government that you'd like to stay in the know on as well. Sometimes it's helpful to sign up for reports for similar governments so that you can stay in the know of what their results are as well as they help you to keep an eye on your operations as well. In addition, once our report is published today, we will shortly thereafter be sending out a customer service link to our audit liaison. Please know that you can send that link on to anybody that participated in the audit, but we really encourage you to provide any feedback that you've had on this audit process. All feedback is good. It helps us improve our operations and it lets us know what worked well and what are areas that we can improve on while working with your team as well. So we look forward to any feedback that you're willing to share with us. And then before we wrap up our, say, our final conclusions here, we just always want to take a moment to say thank you to your team. So many of your team members spend so much of their time and effort with us during the audit process. So I'm going to let my folks that really worked with them jump in here to give these thank yous. So I'll start with Courtney.
Yeah, so I just want to thank Julia and Sean and Will for their leadership and responsiveness throughout the audit to make sure that everything continued to run smoothly with all the requests and information that we were asking of them. We also want to recognize Clark and Alicia and Carrie again for their support on all the sections that we were testing. They were super responsive, very quick to answer our questions and provide the information that we needed in order to be able to wrap this audit up very timely. So that was really helpful.
And Tom?
Yeah, I just wanted to really thank Garrison and Jeff Feinberg, Marie Morrison, Michael Coe, fantastic assistance during the course of these examinations, just real thorough and really quick to respond and willing and able to meet with us and give us a complete understanding of how the district is ensuring compliance and how they approach their compliance so we understood it. It was a really good experience. Learned a lot from it and really appreciated the fine work they're doing.
Thank you, Tom and Courtney. So with that, that does conclude the presentation that we have for you this morning. We'd like to open it up for any final questions or comments that you'd like to share with us.
We've got one quick question. So was the audit conducted in person this year or remotely or as a hybrid?
It was primarily remotely this year, yeah.
And do we find there's a cost savings to the district?
Typically, what we save on that is travel time for the auditors.
So on your website, you have more information about the workshops and leadership training that's available?
Yes, we do. I'd be happy to share a link with our audit contact, Julia and Sean, that could be forwarded to the board if that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I'd just be interested to see what kinds of workshops you offer in that area.
I agree.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
So this is Julia Anderson for the record. I'd just like to thank Christina and Courtney and Tom for their team's work this year. As we just saw, we had a lot of audit work that we did. I was pleased with the results. And as they noted on the number of people involved on the PUD side, there's a number of people involved on the SAO side. It really does take a huge team to complete these audits, complete them timely. And so I just wanted to thank SAO for their work as well.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll just come on there. This is Jason Zaskowski, Assistant General Manager. Just a big thank you to the state team from the auditor's office and then our internal team. I know there was a lot of work put into it and really appreciate everyone's efforts. You guys do an outstanding job.
Yeah, I very much appreciate that both organizations work together. It's smooth. It's nice to hear both sides learning from each other and complimenting each other. So thank you very much.
It's a big mountain to climb.
A lot of work. The annual
So is this the conclusion of our morning meeting? Melissa, is this the conclusion?
This part, so we'll reconvene at 9
o'clock. Okay, hold on. Okay, it is now 8:37 a.m. and the meeting is recessed. The regular meeting will reconvene in the commission meeting right here, commission meeting room, at 9 o'clock a.m. Thank you all.